You know, Christmas has a way of bringing people together, and I love that. I love that. And Christmas even has a way of making mean people nicer. Have you noticed that? Yeah. And that's good too, you know, because we don't need too many mean people in the world. But listen, we're going to get into the Word, but before we do, as a way of introduction, I want to show this video. We're going to pray, and then after the video is just going to play, and it kind of sets the tone for tonight's message. Father, we thank you so much for your Word, your love, your mercy, your kindness. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for how you sent Jesus, your Son, your only Son, precious in your sight, as a sacrifice for us. And Lord, we're here remembering what you did, celebrating your goodness towards us. And I pray, God, that you would speak to our hearts as we hear your Word, and as we hear this message, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, the Apostle John, in his first epistle, he wrote this: "We have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love." And the title of tonight's message is that first Christmas, the day love came down. Now, think about it. On that silent night, perfect divine love came to this world, wrapped in cloths. What a humble, humble descent. Very sacrificial. Though he laid in a manger, he came from a throne. And Charles Wesley, in one of his hymns, he said this: "He left his Father's throne above, so free, so infinite his grace, emptied himself of all but love." But isn't this what love does? Love humbles self in order to comfort, to help, to support others. Now ask any mother who loves their children, her children, of all the sacrifices that she makes and how she humbles herself for her kids and how she nurtures and supports them. Countless sacrifices. Well, God, he sacrificed himself to bring joy to the world. And on that first Christmas evening, in that little town of Bethlehem, away in a manger laid perfect divine love, innocent, pure, and completely dependent upon his own creation. And think about it. Most likely a couple of teenagers. And surely Mary, she didn't know fully how the child that she delivered would one day deliver her and her husband, Joseph, both of them together, raising the child for a very specific purpose, to become the deliverer of all mankind, to be a deliverer for all people. And on the first day when love came down to put into motion our deliverance, we are reminded of these words, and these words, the same words that were spoken by the angel to the shepherds who kept watch over their flocks at night, are the same words that our God, his perfect heart of love, speaks to us today. And they are these: "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Listen again. "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be for all people. Now, this story is told in Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, and I thought instead of us reading it together, I just want you to hear it. And you'll see on the screens the words flashing before your eyes so that you could see it and it could really come and impact you, I hope and pray. And so this text is going to be displayed on the screen. Go ahead, you can go ahead and show it.
In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while he was there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them.
We're going to be focusing primarily on what was said to the shepherds. And in my own words, the message again was, fear not, there's good news, and it's for everyone. The message has three simple points. We'll only be here for maybe a few minutes, and then we're going to partake of communion. The first point is, fear not. The second point is, good news. And the third point is, rejoice. Fear not, because there is good news. And we should rejoice at the news. Fear not. You know, the shepherds, they were afraid of what they saw. And I suppose that if you were there, if we were there, we would be afraid too. The angel of the Lord came upon the shepherds, and the glory of the Lord had shone around them, and they were afraid. They had never seen anything like this. They were working. It was business as usual. And then out of nowhere, this angel appears, and the glory of the Lord is shining around them. I mean, there's a part of me that would have loved to have been there. But I suppose I would have been afraid as well. Why were they afraid? I don't know, but oftentimes when an angel came from heaven or an angel spoke or there was an appearance of God, the reaction was always fear. And the word from God, the word from the angel, oftentimes was, fear not, fear not. But in this case, you wonder, maybe they were thinking perhaps it was bad news. Is this mighty being before them? Remember the news that was heard during the time of Noah? God was going to bring judgment. Or the time that the angels came to Abraham and told him about the judgment that was going to be coming to Sodom and Gomorrah. Whatever was going through their minds, they were afraid. It had to be of great comfort for these shepherds to hear the first two words that came out of that angel's mouth, fear not. And for some of you, this is a timely word. And the same message, fear not, is the same message that God is speaking to you. You know, there's a lot of things that bring fear, such as worldwide events. And think about all the things that are going on in the world today. Just one thing. Think about ISIS and the attacks and the threat of terrorism. Or what's going on just in our own nation. You know that police are on alert across America after the murder that took place of those two New York Police Department officers where they were killed execution style. And Paul the Apostle, he said that in the last days, there would be perilous times, it'd be dangerous times. There's a lot of things to bring fear globally, within our own country, but also there are personal events that bring fear. Fear of the financial future. Maybe some of you are afraid of how things are going and how are you going to pay your bills. Or there's fear relating to your children's future. Or fear of what your marriage is going to look like, or you're afraid that you're going to spend your life alone, or you're afraid of what your health is going to look like, or perhaps you're facing something and you're fearing that it's going to end in failure, or there's going to be rejection. There could be a million things that can cause our hearts to be at trouble. But there's that one message that God is always faithful to bring, and that is, fear not. I believe that God is saying to some of you, fear not. Don't be afraid. You know, the way we look at something can play a significant role in inspiring fear in our hearts. The shepherds, they looked at the angel and the glory of the Lord, and they became afraid. And yet, the angel and the glory of the Lord were not intended to bring fear, but joy. They, by sight, at what they saw, what they were focusing on, became afraid. But their fears became dismissed and turned to joy by what they heard, the message. They heard that message, fear not. I bring good news. And so often that can be the case because that's how we live our lives. We look at our circumstances. We look at something that just happened. The unknown, the unfamiliar. And the unknown and the unfamiliar always brings fear. But the message of the gospel, the message of Christ, is always intended to bring peace. And you might be going through some very challenging things, but God wants to dispel any anxiety, any fear. And the only way that that's going to be dispelled is by you embracing the message, embracing His word. Fear not. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. I'm your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Remember, Emmanuel, God is with us. God is with you. And you don't need to live and walk in fear. You know, it's as if the angel said, listen, you don't need to be afraid of what you see, because what I'm about to tell you is good news. And this good news is the heartbeat of what Christmas is all about. And without this news, there is no true Christmas. The good news, don't be afraid. I have good news. The Savior has come. The Savior has come. Think about it. Our Savior, Jesus, came to set us free. Set us free from our sinful nature. Nobody else could ever do that for us. You couldn't do it. As much as you love your parents couldn't do it. As much as you love your children, parents, you can't do it for your children. You cannot redeem a soul. And the soul that sinneth shall die. And Jesus, He came as a Savior because man had a huge problem. We were in great need. We needed God's help. And Jesus came to deliver us from that sinful nature and to set us free from bondage. And every Christmas is a reminder to us that we don't need to live in fear because our Deliverer has come. And if you stop and you think about all the times past that you were in trouble and you trusted in Christ, how He always came to your rescue. You know, in my life personally, I've learned that He never comes early. He never comes on my timetable. To be quite honest, He usually comes at 11:59. But He's never failed me once. He's never failed me once. Our Deliverer, our Savior, has come. The first time Jesus came, He came to die. And through His death and resurrection, He delivered us from our sin, our greatest problem. And there's no other problem that will compare to that problem that we had. You realize that. If you've put faith in Christ, the Savior, who was born in Bethlehem, our Redeemer, He addressed your greatest problem. You will never have a problem greater than a sinful nature that has not been dealt with. But our Savior dealt with the greatest problem that we had. And now the next time He comes, and He is coming again, and I'm so excited, I can't wait. He will establish His kingdom, and He'll set things in righteous order so that we who long for righteousness will dwell with Him in His kingdom. No longer are we going to be subject to the unrighteousness of unrepentant and unwilling, ungodly men controlled by their sinful nature with no regard for God, men who are under Satan's control. And I'll tell you, I can't wait to walk on this earth. There's going to come that day. I know there's the rapture that comes in between, if I'm still here on the earth. But there's going to come a day where Christ is going to establish His kingdom and to be able to walk on the earth where the reign of Christ is present. What a glorious day that will be. And for this, we can rejoice. That's the good news. Jesus came. He came to rescue us. And when you stop and you think about what Jesus did for us, and what Jesus did for you personally, you can rejoice. The Savior has come for everyone. And joy is what God intended for the good news of Christ, the good news of Christmas, to bring to all mankind. Now, we understand that not everyone is going to receive the Savior, but for those of us who do, we always have a reason to rejoice, because love came down and rescued us. Jesus came for each one of us. Each one of you are special to God, and He loves you. No matter how old you are, no matter how young you are, no matter what your ethnic background is, Christ came for everyone. No matter what you've done, no matter what your social status is, Christ came for everyone. Matter of fact, the Life application says this, and I quote, "The greatest event in history had just occurred," speaking about the angel appearing to the shepherds. The Messiah had been born, and that whole experience that took place with Christ being born and the announcement. For ages, the Jews had waited for this. And when it finally happened, the announcement came to humble shepherds. The good news about Jesus is that He comes to all types of people, including the plain, the ordinary, and the outcasts of society. He comes to anyone with a heart humble enough to accept Him. Whoever you are, whatever you do, you can have Jesus in your life. Don't think that you need extraordinary qualifications. Jesus accepts you as you are, end of quote. And this is a reason to rejoice. Jesus accepts you as you are. Could you imagine, for those of you who have come to Christ, if you had to get right first in order for Christ to accept you, it would never happen. Since Christ has accepted you, are you all right now? Yes and no. Yes, because Christ has redeemed us. But we still have the battle, don't we? We still have that battle. But Christ, He's redeemed us. We came to Him as we are, as we were, messed up, broken, hurting, in bondage to sin. But we humbled ourselves and we said, "Lord, forgive me, cleanse me." And there might be some of you here who you haven't made that commitment to Christ. And for whatever reason, you've been thinking that you have to make yourself right before Christ will accept you, but that's not true. That's not the true order of things. You'll never be right. Christ accepts you just as you are, but you have to humble yourself. You have to repent. Turn from your sins. Turn from that lifestyle and turn to Christ. You turn to Christ, He'll help you. He'll make you right. He'll help you get things right. He accepts you just as you are. Now, in closing, the Christmas message is simply this. Love came down. The Savior's born. He came to rescue us, to set us free from our sins, so that we would be free to worship Him. That's all God desires, is for us to worship Him, to live a life of worship, to set us free to worship Him. And I want to ask you this question. Are you free to worship Jesus? Are you free to worship Christ? In your spirit, are you free to worship Him? And if not, What's hindering you from being able to worship Him, to completely surrender yourself to Jesus, our Savior who came to set us free? Is it fear? Is fear hindering you from worshiping Christ? Well, remember the message is fear not. Don't be afraid. The Lord is going to see you through it. Maybe worry and anxiety. Remember what Jesus said. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. Perhaps depression is hindering you. You've been going through a long season of depression. You know, the Word of God, the message from it, tells us, why so downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God. Put your hope in God. I understand sometimes we get depressed and that affects us, that hinders us. But Jesus, He came to give us joy. And so there comes a point where you just have to encourage yourself and tell yourself, why am I letting this get to me? I need to really put my hope in God. I need to trust in God. And perhaps for some of you, the root of the hindrance between you and God and you being able to worship God is trust. That is, it's a lack of trust on your part. And you feel that the Holy Spirit is drawing you, but up until this point, you haven't been willing to trust Him. God wants you to trust Him. And He's calling you to trust Him. Let the hindrances go and trust Him. You know, when I was just a little kid, I remember playing a game with some of my brothers. My brothers are older than I am. There's a large gap between me and my next brother. At least for me, it's a large gap. But there's 7 years. And then from there, it just keeps, the gap keeps getting bigger and bigger. So I would play this game where, and I'm sure some of you played the same game, where I would step on one of the steps of the stairs, and then I would jump, and my brother would catch me. And then I go to the next step higher. And they'd say, jump, David. Come on, David, jump. I'll catch you. And I'd look, and I wasn't afraid, and I'd jump. And then another step higher. And then it got to a point where I got up the steps, and I looked, and I thought, I am not going to jump. I'm scared. I'm afraid to jump. And then my brother would be sitting there, jump, I'll catch you, I'll catch you. I mean, he caught me every other time. But I was afraid, and I couldn't jump. And then there comes a point where the message, trust me, I'm going to catch you, trust me, became stronger than my fear. And I remember even as a little kid, just jumping, just trusting. And he caught me. I'm still here. For some of you, that's what the Spirit of God is doing to you. He's saying, jump. Jump. Trust me. Come on. Trust me. Trust me. Just trust me. And for you, it's time. It's time for you to trust Him. The Spirit of God is calling you to trust in the Savior who came and He died on the cross for our sins. And today is the day for you. If you're not your Savior's call, turn to Him now. So what we're going to do is we're going to have a time of communion, and I understand that all of us are in different places, and we remember what Jesus did for us. And so what I would like to do is, for some of you, you're thinking of what Christ did and you're celebrating the birth of Jesus and you're thinking through the history of when Christ saved you to where you are now and you're thankful and you're blessed. Some of you, you made a commitment to Christ and it hasn't been easy. Life hasn't been easy. It's not God's fault, but there's been a lot of distractions. And so you're distracted, you're hindered from being able to really worship the Lord. And so for you in these moments, it's time to let the distractions go. Remember to cast all your cares upon Him because He really does care about you. Some of you have fears and worries and anxieties, and God is telling you, don't be afraid. I'm going to take care of you. The journey's tough, but I'm with you and I'm going to take care of you. And some of you, the Spirit of God is convicting you and He's saying, jump, trust me, turn to Jesus, trust me. Whatever is going on in your lives, I just, one by one, I'd like to invite you to come and we could start here. And then there's a couple guys that are going to help to facilitate the passing out of the communion. And you guys just come and then we're going to sing a song of worship during this time. And you can listen to the message of the worship. But you take and you take those elements and you just reflect. And this is a time between you and the Lord. And you go ahead and you partake in the moments where you feel that it's the appropriate time for you. And so we're going to begin now, and I invite you to come and start to receive the elements.